This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, to the flagship podcast interview. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com. Really excited to be joined by Moro Ojimo, defensive tackle, defensive lineman extraordinaire for the Texas Longhorns, the highest rated defensive player on the turnaround story of the Longhorns for 2022, this Texas defense. Moro, man, thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chip, and thank Longhorn Nation for just being a great fan base, and couldn't play for a better university.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to get into. First of all, when I say you're the highest rated defensive player on the entire Longhorn defense, according to Pro Football Focus, how much pride do you take in that? Especially, considering the turnaround of this Texas defense this season?
It's not just me at the end of the day. I think you see that with better defense, players are elevated. And I've got to give all the credit to God, my teammates, my family, just all the support that has helped me achieve that ranking, right? If I didn't have a defensive end to help me make the play or the cornerback to cover the receiver a little bit longer, it's ultimately the people around me, and I'm just thankful for them.
So let's go back to the beginning. Because when you arrived at Texas in 2018, how old were you when you arrived on campus?
I was 16.
16.
Yeah.
Like just turned 16?
No, I was turning 17 after summer workouts. So I was 16 from May to, I guess, August 15.
Okay. 16 years old, barely driving.
Yeah.
And you're, this super smart guy, finance major at Texas. What was that like arriving at Texas at the age of 16? Because, you're a big guy, so it's not like you're some, little guy who hadn't gone through puberty or something. But what was that like?
It was just a cool experience. I got to give it out to, at the end of the day, the university. I had all the resources I needed. It didn't feel like I was on an island. Family was still close by. My teammates, all those guys in that recruiting class, I got to spend a lot of time together. And I always tell people that I feel like I was in the same age as everyone else. I just started school a little bit earlier. So I think I had some cool experiences and it was fun.
Yeah. And you played as a freshman in 3 games. You redshirted that season, but you played in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia, that Sugar Bowl victory. So what was that experience like, and how was that for setting the table for your first year at Texas?
It was amazing. Raised the bar really high. Georgia was a great team that year. We had the opportunity to go versus them, and it was fun. I still remember walking out of the tunnel in the Saints Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and there's nothing like it. It was so cool. Probably definitely up there with the DKR and Cotton Bowl in terms of just atmosphere of walkouts and stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, y'all win that. What was that celebration like?
It was insane. I think it was just surreal. I remember, I think guys stayed up to like 5, 6 a.m. because Bourbon Street doesn't close. And I just remember being in my hotel room and at like 5 a.m., like guys just going crazy in the hallway, you know. It was euphoric. There was nothing like that experience.
Yeah, and it in like life, things, you know, are difficult. There's ups, there's downs. You know, 2019, 2020's the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Y'all are 7-3 that season, but you come up just short of the Big 12 title, and then a coaching change. Mm-hmm. And in comes Steve Sarkisian and, you know, Pete Kwiatkowski and Bo Davis. Yeah. And it doesn't go as planned.
Mm-hmm.
What was, you know, what did you learn in that 5-7 season that enabled you all to ultimately turn this thing around in 2022?
I think there was a key there in that season that I think life goes in seasons, coincidentally. And I think that every season has an ending date, you know. I think that it was very vital for us to understand what that felt like so that we wouldn't go back towards that, right? And then I think it was also very vital for us to stay as a team and kind of just learn from our mistakes of that season so that when maybe faced with the same problems of trying to finish games, we've been here before, we know what not to do. So let's not do that and let's go out there and let's win the game.
And you know, as that season is playing out, the defense is not having a good year, giving up 200 yards per game on the ground, over 5 yards per carry. That's got to be frustrating for a guy who's, you know, freshman year, you're in the Sugar Bowl and things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
What were the conversations like? Because this defensive line, it's a veteran group this year.
Mm-hmm.
You, Keandre Coburn, Tavondre Sweat, you know, Vernon Broughton, heck, even Byron Murphy's a second-year guy now, so he's kind of a veteran. But what were those conversations like in the off season and through the summer and into fall camp? And what happened in terms of bonding either player to player or player to coach that – it started to come together?
I think first of all, we realized we didn't play good football last year, and I think we realized that there were specific things that could attribute to that. I think that as a defense, we took a little bit of inspiration from the Georgia team of last year and just seeing how defensively they improved so much and how that resulted in, I mean, a lot of them having successful futures and, you know, getting drafted and doing the things that they want to do with their lives. So I think that was one aspect. I think that another aspect was us maybe just trying to bond a little bit more, you know, get closer as a defense so that, we had a banquet today and Coach Kay said something. It was like, for good defense to be played, has to be team defense, right? Everyone has to do their individual job. All 11 players have to do their individual job. So we kind of had to build this trust atmosphere in our defense, you know, to where if I'm rushing the passer and I'm about to get to the quarterback throws it back at the DB, that they're going to cover that pass. Right. Or say that the DB is trusting us to stop the run so that it doesn't get to the second level. They have to make the necessary tackle. So I think there was just a lot of that was involved. I also think just another year in the defense, understanding the coach's terminology. There's nothing like it. You begin to understand the defense completely different. right? It's not a new introduction, it's a reintroduction. So now you're diving deep into the defense, you're understanding exactly what Coach K wants. So I think those things really helped.
Was there some philosophical change too? You know, once you all came together and the coaches felt like there was that bond, that trust, did they turn the defensive linemen, you know, did they give them, you know, more license to penetrate and get upfield this season than last season? You tell me.
I just say that, I mean, props to Coach Davis. I think that he coaches players to be football players and not robots. And while you play in a system, while you have instructions, at the end of the day, players are players, coaches are coaches, right? So it's like, go out there and play and we can fix it, right? Go as hard as you can, be as explosive and as aggressive as you can, and we'll fix it if it's wrong, you know? So I think that was that. And then just maybe understanding the game more. There's so many things that even me and Keith Coburn, as being fifth-year guys, were learning for the first time this year, you know, like backfield sets or light hands, heavier hands, whether it's a double team, a pulling guard, all these things that, you know, slowed down the game and just opened the game up so much more.
Yeah, I mean, it was a night and day difference from the beginning to the end. I mean, the defense was the story of this team in terms of y'all shut down the run. You know, there was just this nonstop, consistent ability to you know, stop the run and make teams have to throw the football. And how much of that was individuals, you know, buying in? And like, for you example, what did you work on specifically in the off season going into this season to improve yourself as a football player, and how much of that work paid off?
I think all of it did. I think Sark says something about excellence being exhausting, and he also talks about, rather than using the word sacrifices, using the word investments, right? So me specifically, I knew that going into the season, I was going to have to work on some quickness, and I was also going to have to work on not thinking as much, right? Just playing a play as opposed to thinking of the five different things that can go on. And I heard a speech the other day about knowing your strengths and your weaknesses, right? And basically surrounding yourself with people that will help you with those weaknesses. And I think Coach Davis was extremely pivotal in kind of just getting me to think less and react, right? Okay, if I see the offensive line body language a certain way, I'm gonna react, right? I'm just gonna trust that instinct as opposed to second guessing myself or thinking about different things. So those are like huge things for me. And the quickness aspect, Coach Becton helped out a lot. And I think another thing was just like having like a cognitive mindset of having an importance in every play, you know, thinking like, okay, like I could be quick in this play, or like knowing certain plays that I could show that ability as opposed to maybe just ignoring it. But when I was like very aware of it, I was able to put it on tape.
You all, excuse me, there was a lot of talk about the team building in the off season, and the year prior going into the 2021 season, you all were kind of all over the place. The South End was being redone. You all were in the visitors' locker room in the North End. And Sark said he blamed himself for not doing more to bring the team together. It sounded like there was a big emphasis, the team building Wednesdays. You tell us, how much of that team building paid off this season, and what specifically in that team building of, you know, the exercises do you feel like was the most effective?
I think it paid off a lot. I think that when you spend time focusing on culture, has exponential results in a sense. When I think of really any great organization or any great team. You know, they don't talk about necessarily the skills or the abilities. They talk about how it felt to be there, how it feels to be around there. They're happy. There's just unity and things of that nature. And I mean, I was glad that we were able to do that this year. One thing that I know for a fact is when you know your teammates more, you're willing to play for them in the whole we, not me thing. And those win days provided an opportunity for us to know our teammates better. I believe the first Wednesday we talked about just a little bit about our story. And that was just good to know someone has sisters or whether where you're from and how certain events have impacted you, have motivated you, or inspired you to be the player you are today.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff is Dick Tomey, who came here in 2004, did a lot of that kind of team building. I thought it paid off huge for the 2005 national championship team, even for the 04 team that won the Rose Bowl over Michigan. It seems like the coaches, you know, there were questions about are these coaches the right fit? Clearly, the defensive coaches appear to be the right fit because you all played such great defense. I mean, you go from giving up 31 points per game to, you know, right at 20, and, you know, you're shutting down the highest powered offenses. You're holding Alabama, you know, below their average. You're holding TCU and Kansas way below their averages, you know, game after game. And Baylor, you all, you know, put it together, even though you were on the field the whole first half, it seemed. The, you know, what was it like coming to the sideline and, you know, what was it maybe, I'm not trying to have you put the 2021 team in a bad light, but how is it different coming to the sideline, you know, in these games where, you know, some leads were given up and, you know, it you all just kept hammering away?
I just think we trusted each other. You know, those cultural Wednesdays, we do stuff for the culture just all around the year. And I think the trust to just keep fighting and trust our offense, trust our defense, trust our training. I think we had belief in it. And some of those things take time. And I think that just the time period of 2021 and 2022, we just had more time to believe in our training, believe in the calls, believe in the playbook. We understood it more. We knew our teammates more. And I think that just helped.
What are you most proud of with regard to the, and we'll get into the bowl game. You're going to play Washington in the Alamo Bowl. But what are you most proud of about this season so far?
So far, I mean, I think I'm just proud of this defense in a sense of we went out and we tried to win games rather than relying on people. And I mean, offense won games as well, but, you know, we took accountability, and I think everyone took accountability, and we were like, okay, like they're driving the ball down, we need to make a stop. You know, for example, I mean, Iowa State won the forced fumble, and I think it was just really cool for us to believe in each other and not just hang our heads down as they're driving, but like we can do it. At no point did we lose any belief, in my opinion.
Yeah, you had a huge sack in that Iowa State game. We'll take a quick break with Moro Ojimo, fifth-year defensive lineman, University of Texas, the highest-rated defensive player for the Longhorns in the 2022 season, according to Pro Football Focus.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
We left off, Moro, with you with that sack that you had in the third quarter against Iowa State. It was huge. It was 2nd and 9 from the Texas 26. It was an 8-yard sack, brought up 3rd and 17. You all held. They attempted a 46-yard field goal and missed it. What do you remember about that play?
I kind of just honestly, it was a very interesting play. I think that I just used my length on that offensive tackle, and next thing I know, I was next to the quarterback, and it was a cool environment. I think that I was just playing. You know, one of the things I wanted to work on was less thought, more playing, just be a football player. And I just reacted and was aggressive, and it was a great play.
So when you came into the season and you had that, you know, less thinking, just play, you probably tasted success early, mm-hmm. whether it was Louisiana Monroe or Alabama. And then you just kept trusting it.
Yeah. And just trusting the D lineman. I think that, I know we have a great room. We have a great leader in Coach Davis. And it was just, you know, I trusted our training, trusted our D linemen, trusted what was working. And if it's not broke, don't fix it. So.
Well, you mentioned that D line room. Mm-hmm. And you, Keandre Coburn, you both came in 2018. Tavondre Sweat, another veteran. You all have a COVID season still, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, technically.
Mm-hmm. So what are you thinking there? I mean, I know you're a smart guy, mm-hmm. majoring in finance. I'll ask you about that in a second, but what are your thoughts on the COVID year?
I think one, it's cool that the NCAA chose to do that. COVID was a challenging year for so many different reasons. It just wasn't the same as a normal football year. You know, there weren't fans out there. The off-season training couldn't have been the exact same. You weren't, as a team, didn't get a chance to build as much as you could have as a team. But I mean, me personally, just weighing my options and seeing what the next best step is, and, you know, being thoughtful about it and not being emotional and ultimately making the right decision.
Will you talk to guys like Keandre and Tavondre, who also, I think Sweat's coming back, best I can tell. But do you talk to any of the other guys about it, or is this purely a situation where you'll talk to your coaches and your family?
No, I think we definitely have conversations about it. You know, at the end of the day, we've grown and built relationships together. And I think that we would just, you know, it's like we're just chopping it up, just talking about it. And hey, what are you thinking? Yada, yada, yada. What's important to you? What's going to make you decide? And that's about it. So we definitely have conversations about it with each other.
Of the young guys in your room, who's coming on and what kind of growth did you see among, maybe some of the guys who weren't playing as much as the veterans?
They all have really good ability. They play hard. And it was really cool to just see all of them differently. I'll speak on each of them individually. Zach Swanson is just powerful and he's aggressive. He's a really hard playing football player, and he's got some ability. Aaron Bryant, it's just been really cool to see him grow. And we get so hyped in the D-line room, and he's making a good player, just doing good stuff. And he's such a good kid. And he's grown a lot this off season. And then Christopher Ross is a great kid. He's got a lot of twitch, a lot of good ability, and it's just been fun to be around them. They're great guys. They're nice. They are coachable. They're guys that are going to help this team in the future.
What about Jarae Bledsoe?
Oh yeah. Jarae Bledsoe is a crazy athlete. He's a great guy to be around. He's funny. And Jarae's a good guy. He does some insane things I've never seen anyone do from a physical athletic standpoint.
Like what?
He's just can like a squat, he can get lower, like the way his ankles move and all these things, he's a really good athlete.
What when you look at this defense and you think about next year,
mm-hmm.
what do you think this defense will look like? How good can it be?
I think you just grow. You just put your head down and you have a deferred gratitude mindset. You see how much you've come, but you realize what got you there and you keep investing. Excellence is exhausting, so you don't stop, right? You persevere and you move the standard higher. Depending on whoever's on that upcoming defense, move the standard higher for the next team and for the next defense and the next defense.
Yeah. It was interesting. We talked to you before the season and you talked about how NIL was impacting things, and it looks like it hurt some teams in their locker rooms or the outcomes of other teams' seasons. But it looked like the culture for Texas, made it to where NIL didn't become something that negatively impacted the locker room. Is that, how would you characterize it?
I just say that Coach Sark has created a great culture, and we're a very we organization team. There's no I in team, so. We're very team first. Everything we do is for the team.
When you look at this season, you're going to play Washington, really talented offensive football team in the Alamo Bowl. What's your, what went through your mind when you heard it would be the Alamo Bowl against Washington?
I think just excited for another opportunity to play a great team and put one more win in the column. I believe if we win this game, we'll be the second team to win 9 games in 13 seasons. It's not a bad legacy to leave. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. I think people feel like, this team, this program took a big step forward. Mm-hmm. And, the defense, a huge part of it, my goodness. Your level of play. I'll mention a couple other guys. Jalen Ford. What stands out about what you saw from him this year?
Ford's a great guy. I remember having conversations prior to the year, just like who are some guys that can step up and really help us this year. And you know, Jalen Ford was a guy that kept popping up. And I mean, just I'm so proud of him. You know, I've been honored to see the ball, him just play really well and have the year that he's having. And I'm just glad, you know, I'm really happy for the guy. He deserves it all. He works his tail off, and the sky's the limit.
Does he walk up to you, you know, and thank you? Because he always says, man, you know, the guys up front make it where I can run around and make plays.
Yeah.
You know, what are those conversations like?
Yeah, definitely. It is like, I know, like he does, like, it, for example, I mean, I know there's a number of sacks that he had that they would double team the nose and he just go through the middle, you know, and yeah, he definitely thanks us. And I think that's just the culture we had around this defense this year. If, like, you know, maybe on a play, he would force something to me or I'd force something to him or just everyone on the defense, you know, that was really cool to see us have.
Jahdae Barron, another, you know, a guy who led the team in tackles for loss.
Yeah.
Had a big year, probably dropped a couple pick sixes in the last couple of games. But what stood out about his year?
I love that guy's mindset. You know, I think he's a guy that has a mindset of domination, and I think mentally he sets himself apart. I think that he believes himself, and I think that he's just a great player. And that's another guy that I'm happy to see great things happen for him. You know, he's a guy that I love playing with, and it makes me feel comfortable when I see him on the field.
Ryan Watts proved to be a big addition to this team. You know, just what comes into your mind when I mention Ryan Watts?
I think he's a little silly, but he's a great guy, and, you know, he's had great length and he works hard. You know, I know numerous times I'd be in the weight room and I'd just see him with a GA or somebody working on being a cornerback, and, you know, he works hard in practice, and, you know, I'm very happy for what's going on with Watts right now. I just am excited to see what he continues to do. You know, he's got great ability, great length, and he's a really good player.
What do you know anything at all about Washington?
No, I have not given Washington any attention.
Yeah, not yet. That's going to be a fun showdown. Yeah. What I mean, obviously, it's an interesting time right now with guys announcing they're getting in the portal. You know, some guys moving on to the NFL may not play in the bowl game. What's it like right now? What's the atmosphere around the team right now?
I think we're just a team mentality. You know, it's we, and we have a lot of love for guys who maybe the best decision was to go elsewhere. You know, we understand and appreciate them so much for what they've done for the program. And, you know, I think it's just all love. Love all around.
When you know, I mentioned you're a finance major, and so tell me about that. It's not an easy path, but what do you see for your future, Moro? Because we know you're, you know, a super gifted football player, but you're a super smart guy who's obviously really appreciated by his teammates. But when you know, have that finance major from the University of Texas, what do you see yourself doing with that ultimately?
I was just getting in that space. I mean, the University of Texas, anyone that watches this and just this alumni base, everyone that supports us, I'm just so thankful for y'all. I'm so thankful that, like, God ultimately led me to this university. You know, having a degree from McCombs is something that's powerful. And I'm speechless almost. And futuristically, I would love to enter the finance field and, you know, interact with McCombs grads and all of that. And whenever that comes, it comes. But I'm so excited to eventually do that.
How, back to football. Well, actually, what was your hardest class at the University of Texas? What's the class that kept you up at night getting ready for that exam or final?
There was an investment management course, Finance 367, that was miserable. And then physics, that was really bad. That was, oh my gosh. Oh, physics is bad. But we made it through. Those are some times.
When you think of the funniest moment you've had, as a Longhorn or locker room, hijinks, whatever, funny, is there one thing that pops into your mind?
Gosh, not one thing, but I know that in a sense, just like I know I felt more team like this year because we would have this Friday night dinner and it'd be basically the whole D-line, Jordan Winton, DeMarvion, and it was just hilarious. It was just a great time. It was fun to be around all those guys. And I mean, it was just pure happiness, pure joy.
Do you have like a percentage right now of whether you'd come back next year?
No, I'm not at liberty to say.
Not there yet.
Yeah, I'm still thinking.
I got you. Mm-hmm. All right. So what, put it into your words, when you look at the growth of this defense, and what it meant to the program and what it means to the program in terms of trying to move the program forward, just put that into your own words, your own perspective.
Defense wins championships ultimately, and the trajectory that this program is on and needs to be on has to have a great defense. And as the standard continues to rise, the University of Texas will play great football.
And obviously everyone, is intrigued, the turnaround of the defense, Pete Kwiatkowski, having Gary Patterson as a special assistant to Sark. When you look at, I'll start with Patterson. What do you think he brought to this team this year?
I think just something I hear in the business world and I think I hear in life always is try to make sure you're not the smartest person in the room. And I think that was the intention, to bring another great genius mind that knows defense, knows programs, knows how to win football games, knows this conference. So I think that was that.
And, Pete Kwiatkowski, we don't get to talk to him much. He sounds like he's a quiet guy anyway, the silent assassin. Mm-hmm. Why is he a good defensive coordinator?
I think he believes in his guys and calls the defense with confidence, and I think he talks to his guys on the sideline. What are you seeing out there? What do you feel comfortably run? What do you feel comfortable running? And I think he's just like communicates.
What's your level of confidence in this program, being able to contend for a Big 12 title next year? You all were so close this year.
I mean, 110%. This is a great program and making great strides. And as work keeps happening, the right mentality, the right perspective, culture keeps building, it should happen.
And Moro, you're a smart guy. Is there anything else that's on your mind with regard to what you're seeing inside the program that you think is important for people to know about, or your, perspective on this, the program, the direction of the program, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I think just one thing is that we work hard, and we are trying our best to represent Texas football in the right way. And we just want to win games. We want to make our family, God proud, make our fans proud, make the University of Texas proud.
Well, what a year. What a year for you. And we will wait with great anticipation about maybe getting another year with Mauro Ogbo, the highest rated defensive player in 2022 for the Texas Longhorns, according to Pro Football Focus. Mauro, really appreciate your time, man. And we'll look forward to you know, talking to you leading up to the Alamo Bowl and beyond. But really appreciate the time.
No worries. Thank you, Chip.
All right. And thanks to everybody for listening to the flagship podcast interview for Mauro Ogbo. I am Chip Brown. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Stay safe and keep the faith.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!